Janice, Selena, Nina, Aretha. Just some of the legendary names of women who shaped popular music as we know it today. NPR Music launched a project called Turning the Tables to start the conversation about influential women in music. It's a list of 150 great albums made by women. The project hopes to disrupt the status quo of pop music history, which often centers on the guys. Nearly 50 women who play a role in NPR from across the nation compiled and voted on this list. Jim DeRogatis stays with us from WBEZ Chicago as we add two more voices to our conversation. Joining us from Nashville is NPR music critic Ann Powers. She's one of the originators of this list. And welcome back to 1A.
Thanks so much for having me.
And here with us in studio is Kiana Faircloth, the host of Evening Jazz on WPFW here in Washington. She also contributed to this list. Kiana, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We welcome your questions and thoughts about the list and your suggestions of which albums you loved. Maybe if there is something that the list should not have missed, we'd like to hear about it. Email us 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. We've gotten so many stories about how these albums and other albums by prominent female artists have affected their lives. Here is one voicemail that was left in our inbox.
My name is Jason, calling from Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Female singers. I think there's no question Erykah Badu has always had my heart.
So presently I'm standing here right now, you're so demanding. Tell me what you want from me.
As a new father of a little 9-month-old daughter, a lot of thought has gone into the music she listens to when she's in the vehicle with me. And I've always found Erykah Badu's lyrics to be very uplifting, very intelligent, and always with a great message behind them, denouncing materialism, encouraging people to be who they are and not try to be someone that they're not to appease a social norm. It's an excellent vocalist and always an excellent message behind her music also. There's no question, my favorite female vocalist or singer of all time.
Thank you for your voicemail, Jason. We'll get into some more of your favorite songs in a moment. Ann Powers, let me come to you. How did this list come about?
Well, a few years ago, maybe a couple years ago, my good friend Jill Sternheimer, who is the director of public programs at Lincoln Center, and I were having a conversation. We were in New Orleans, we got to a music festival, and we were thinking about like what artists tend to headline these festivals, or you know, are older artists like who are still held up and commemorated and remembered, and we started talking about how often women artists might seize the moment. You know, you might have a lot of female pop stars, as we have in the past decade or two, especially at the top of the charts. But then, are their legacies preserved? Do they get the due that they deserve? And we started a conversation that then eventually evolved into this idea of making a list. And I took this idea to my team at NPR Music, and we decided that we wanted an all-woman voting panel from throughout NPR, all different kinds of writers, producers, hosts, DJs, to vote on their 150 favorite albums from a particular era, by the way. It is the what I'm calling the classic album era, from 1964, when the Beatles invaded and started pushing things into the album kind of form as being the dominant form, to, I want to say, we were going to do it till 2010 when streaming started to kind of take over and downloading, but there was so much insistence among our voters that Lemonade by Beyonce be on the list,
right?
That we ended up making it come to the present.
They might have burned NPR down if we didn't let Lemonade on the list. I'm just saying, that might not have ended well. Kiana Faircloth, talk about some of the things that you were thinking about in terms of the albums that you thought belong on the list. We're up against a break momentarily, but what for you were the hallmarks of an album that deserved to be listed?
I think the major thing for me would be the message that was coming across in the music, not just the melodic lines and, you know, the fame of the artist, but also, did they have a message? Did they have something that needed to be said at the time? Was it necessary in that moment in life for that message to come across? And so in the writings that I did on Anita Baker's Rapture and Sarah Vaughan's Sassy Swings Again, you know, know, I was thinking about, you know, how did Sarah take command of the orchestra with just the sheer power of her voice? You know, that's something that definitely needed to be documented and included on this list.
As soon as you mentioned Anita Baker Rapture, everything in me was like, oh!
You know?
Yes.
It's like soul food.
It was. And it was one of these albums that just kind of hit. And then, you know, Anita Baker was hot for a while and then she kind of disappeared. But that album is still, it's like a time capsule almost.
Absolutely it is. I have memories of just being in the kitchen with my mom and she cooking and this music going and it just envelops you with this warm feeling.
Let me get to a few comments from our listeners before we have to hit a break. Bria in Indiana writes, Patty Griffin's album Living with Ghost absolutely tops my list. It's raw, beautiful, and pretty much life incarnate. Janet sent us an email, many great albums on the list, but how could you overlook two of the most influential female voices of the 60s and 70s? Grace Slick of Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship, White Rabbit, Somebody to Love, come on people, and Sandy Denny of Fairport Convention, plus a robust solo career, the preeminent voice of English folk rock. Much more to discuss as we continue picking apart this list with NPR music critic Ann Powers, Kiana Faircloth of WPFW Radio in Washington, Jim DeRogatis of WBEZ Chicago, and with you. Stay close. Before we get back to our conversation, we would love your help with tomorrow's program about reality television. This season of The Bachelorette is making waves for having its first black lead character. What do you see on reality TV that reflects real life issues like race or class or gender? Is reality doing anything that feels real to you? Leave us a voicemail. 855-236-1A1A. How real is reality TV on issues like race, class, or gender? Tell us your story. 855-236-1A1A. That's 855-236-1212. We'll share some of your stories tomorrow on 1A. Back now to our conversation about NPR Music's list of 150 great albums made by women, part of a new project called Turning the Tables. We're discussing it with NPR Music critic Ann Powers, Kiana Faircloth, the host of Evening Jazz on WPFW here in Washington, and Jim DeRogatis, the co-host of Sound Opinions on WBEZ Chicago. Jim DeRogatis, let me come back to you. What about this idea of a list honoring female artists as a way to get a little more gender balance into the way we think of the music industry? What do you make of that?
Well, Anne in her introduction said she wanted to start a conversation, and for that I very much applaud her and everyone who contributed to this list. I have to say, though, it makes me a little sad that we still have to say the 150 best albums by women, and it should just be the best albums period, and some of those happen to have been made by women. Such is my understanding of third wave feminism, which I'd consider myself. I you know, we're still segregating artists who are an essential part of the last 40 years, 50 years of pop music history. And you know, my approach, whether it was Joan Jett or the alternative era band L7 or Courtney Love or Savages, is they would always say to me when I'd interview them, I don't want to be known as a great female rocker. I'm a great rocker, period, and F you if you want to say otherwise.
Ann Powers, what about that?
Well, I totally hear that point of view, and Jim is absolutely right. In an ideal world, we wouldn't have to highlight women who have been either forgotten or isolated within lists largely dominated by men. But I think we can look to institutions like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, an institution, by the way, that I deeply love and believe in and have I've done a lot of stuff with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think it's great that there is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but there are definitely far fewer women in the Rock Hall than men, and most of the lists, I looked at a lot of lists before I decided to spearhead this project, partly because I personally don't love to make lists. I think lists in general, as I said in my essay accompanying this one, are lies. They're artificial. This one is a construct of a particular time and place and group of voters. But at the same time, it's just, it is an intervention and a corrective. And I hope we get to that place that we don't live in yet.
Let's get back to some of the songs that you said were particularly meaningful to you. Here's another voicemail we got in our inbox.
Hi, my name is Sheila, and I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona.
The hills were alive with wildflowers, and I was as wild, even wilder than they.
Or at least one of my favorite all-time albums by a female is actually a three-in-one. It's Trio, featuring Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt.
Just a wild mountain rose needing freedoms to grow.
Three remarkable, talented women all on one album. It's my favorite.
When a flower grows wild, it can always survive. Wildflowers don't care where they grow.
Sheila, thanks very much for sharing your favorite albums with us. By the way, since Ann Powers mentioned the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I just did a quick search. The 2017 Rock Hall inductees this year, in the performer category, ELO, Joan Baez, Journey, Pearl Jam, Tupac Shakur, and Yes, and Nile Rodgers is receiving an award for musical excellence. Seven inductees, one woman among them. Kiana Faircloth, what were the most controversial selections for you, or even the most controversial omissions for you?
I think omissions, I'm glad you asked. There is going to be a list, a forebears list of those that, you know, may have been left off of the list. One of them for me, I feel, was Lena Horne's Stormy Weather.
Oh.
Absolutely. Because I feel as if she, Lena Horne, you know, just her entire career was one that sort of paved the way for your Diana Rosses, for your Beyoncés, for those triple threats that went from stage to screen to the recording studio. She was that quintessential performer that really did lay the foundation for those artists that made the top 10 and the top 20 on this 150 Greatest Albums list. So Stormy Weather, for me, definitely explored that American songbook and just showcased, you know, especially for African-American women, that we can sing those songs that America loves and really just create that sound that people look to in the genre of jazz especially.
And also, I'm just doing a quick search on the track listing. Stormy Weather also includes Summertime,
oh, yeah.
Baby Won't You Please Come Home, I'll Be Around, just one of those things, a lot of the kind of American songbook albums. Jim is a country music journalist. He writes, I'm shocked by the inclusion of the Dixie Chicks' debut album Wide Open Spaces and the omission of the band's incredible 2006 record Taking the Long Way, which was produced in the aftermath of lead singer Natalie Maine's controversial statements about President Bush. Taking the Long Way is a deep intimate album that showcases a fully mature band masterfully reinventing its sound while dealing head-on with topics ranging from their expulsion from country music to difficulty conceiving a child. Ann Powers, I wonder if maybe we can kind of short-circuit all the people whose responses are basically, what's wrong with you? What would you say to those people for saying, what's wrong with you for leaving this album off?
I say bring it on. I want this list to be just the start. I want there to be 15,000 albums by women celebrated or 150,000. And, you know, this list is a particular, as I said, a snapshot of the opinions and the loves of a certain group of people. And I love that Kiana's on today because actually her, I'm going to reveal something. I hope you don't mind, Kiana, but she voted for a lot of albums that didn't make the list. As a specialist, as someone who, you know, has a really particular view of what's important in music, and I want to highlight what she loves in future coverage, because Turning the Tables is just, the list is just the beginning. We are going to publish essays on forebears, artists who mostly recorded their greatest works before the time span the list covers, and also we're going to publish a series on shocking omissions. These exact artists and albums that people are just, how could you leave that off? And someone mentioned Sandy Denny, for example. Lena Horne, a great forebear. Billie Holiday, Bessie Smith, more contemporary artists like Nico Case. All these people deserve to be celebrated too. And I think it's a kind of radical idea to say, this list is just the start. Let's keep building on it. I welcome naysayers.
We also got a number of comments about other genres, like jazz, for example. Patrick emailed, "What about Esperanza Spalding? She is an extremely fine jazz bass player, an adventuresome and wonderful singer that performs interesting and sometimes challenging music, but she kicks, you know what." I think I can say that on NPR, but I really don't know. But you know what she kicks. You know what Esperanza Spalding.
She kicks out the jams.
Thank you, Annie. That's exactly why we had you on, Ann. Thank you very much for saving me from myself. Charlotte tweeted, Annie Lennox, she's still the soundtrack of my teens. Brando tweeted, Sinead O'Connor's The Lion and the Cobra. Such an amazing voice, both powerful and vulnerable. Willie tweets, can't forget the legendary voice of Minnie Riperton. While I was introduced to her through rapper and producer J Dilla, she's been a part of my life ever since. And of course, we have to talk about the artist who came out in the list at number one.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace a chance. That was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. Oh, but California, California.
That's California by Joni Mitchell from her 1971 album Blue. Ann Powers, why did Blue get the top spot?
I think Blue resonates with all kinds of listeners because it is an incredibly masterful work, an incredibly innovative work that also communicates the personal in such a sophisticated way. And, you know, Joni Mitchell hates the word confessional, so I'm not going to use that in connection to it. But Blue definitely, told her stories and made them universal while keeping them so intimate that people relate to this album on a very, very deep level. The story of a woman finding her way in the world, making hard decisions, encountering men, getting involved with them, besting them, leaving them, being hurt by them, all of that's happening on this album. But also the musical richness of the album, really what turned her toward what later she would really pursue in other albums, which is her amazing blend of jazz and rock and roll and pop.
Janet writes, no discussion of women in the music industry is complete without the inclusion of Laura Nyro. The list of songs that she wrote is amazing, although many were made popular by other singers. Some of her works include Wedding Bell Blues and When I Die and Eli's Coming. She passed away in 1997, but her music is still being released. If people have not listened to her songs, I encourage them to check her music out. She was really an amazing artist. Jim DeRogatis, could you talk a little bit about the role of women behind the scenes in the music industry as writers, arrangers, producers? How much of that story is not getting told?
Oh, I think it's still a chronic shortcoming that there are so few women record producers. There's some great ones on this list, Missy Elliott. But also just, in Chicago, there's 40 odd regular rock and jazz clubs, and the amount of female sound technicians I can count on one hand. Women tend to be relegated to the role of publicist, where there's this very unseemly, Anne has talked about this in panels, business of, young women in their 20s cajoling, fat old white guys in their 50s to write about music. It's bizarre. So there is a lot of inequality still in music, and I guess that's why we have to have still the list of the greatest women artists.
Julio tweeted, while I enjoyed and concurred with much of NPR's lists, I'm more interested in new female artists. Who does your panel love now? Kiana, who's new on the radar that you love?
New on the radar, absolutely, of course. Not new now, but Esperanza Spalding. Always love how innovative she is. And even with her latest project that's coming out that she's going to do on Facebook Live, it's just an incredible thing to imagine. Love Esperanza. I love Moonchild. The lead singer from Moonchild is really doing some just amazing and innovative things. And gosh, there's so many others, too numerous to name right now. I love Alicia Olatuja. She's a jazz artist, up-and-coming jazz artist, who's done some work with Gregory Porter and Billy Childs on his new album, Rebirth. And just so many I could go on and on.
One more that I got to make sure that we mentioned. We asked you which albums were at the top of your list, and there's one in particular that really we heard from a lot of you about. Here's some of what you told us was your very favorite.
Hi, this is Susan from Indianapolis. My favorite album by a woman is Carole King's Tapestry. It reminds me of coming of age in the 70s, women's empowerment, and finding my voice. It's just a thrill to hear it.
My life has been a tapestry of rich and royal hue.
Hello, this is Gordon Palmer from Loveland, Colorado. Such a great album by Carole King, which established her not only as a great songwriter with songs like Up on the Roof, but establishing her as a great singer and artist as well.
A tapestry to feel and see, impossible to hold.
Carole King, Tapestry, changed music for women and especially men's attitudes towards women artists.
There came a man of fortune, a drifter passing by. He wore a torn...
Jim DeRogatis, our time is short, but what do you make of Tapestry getting such a strong response?
Yeah, I've never got Tapestry. Of my favorites on this list are in the 50s to 40s. X-Ray Specs and Hole and Heart and the great Mavis Staples. My God, she's a force of nature. Lists like this are supposed to start the argument, as Anne has said. You know, where's Courtney Barnett, says Jim. Where are Savages, the best band I've seen live since Nirvana? Or My Bloody Valentine. They kind of split the difference. But to the extent that we are then talking about this great music, kudos to everybody who took part in this list.
I should give you the top 10, by the way. Carole King came in at number 10 on the list. I'm feeling this is my Casey Kasem moment for the show. Carole King came in at number 10. At number 9, Back to Black by Amy Winehouse. Number 8 was Pearl by Janis Joplin. Number 7 was Horses by Patti Smith. Coming in at number 6, Lemonade by Beyonce. Number 5, Super Duper Fly by Missy Elliott. 4, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You by Aretha Franklin. 3rd was I Put a Spell on You by Nina Simone. She should have been 3rd, 2nd, and 1st as far as I'm concerned. But I'm okay with number 2, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill by Lauryn Hill. And number 1 was Blue by Joni Mitchell. Very briefly, Ann Powers, you said that you're going to create more content around this, including what was left off the list. Give us a little bit more on what's next for this project, briefly.
Yeah, so we had a great conversation at Lincoln Center, a panel last week about with some of the voters about our favorites on the list. That will be published in shortened form this week on NPR Music. And then we are going to start a series on forebears and on shocking omissions. We're going to have audio conversations. We're going to have more events. We're going to have 3 more events at Lincoln Center throughout the year. And just what Jim talked about, we want to publish stuff on women producers, women in the studio. It's an initiative, really, to delve into this world, past, present, and future.
That's NPR music critic Ann Powers. Ann, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Jim DeRogatis, co-host of WBEZ's Sound Opinions. Thank you, Jim.
You bet.
And Kiana Faircloth, the host of Evening Jazz on WPFW. Thanks, Kiana.
Thank you.
You can find our Spotify playlist with our producers' favorite picks online at the1a.org. And hey, you'll find more streams from NPR music stations across the country online at npr.org/music. 1A comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to get out of the way. I hear the Queen Bees coming through. This is 1A. Come play.